Food. Just the thought of all this food in our readings makes me hungry. The first reading, the psalm, and the gospel are all about food and eating. It's food that brings people together. Food is the setting for a conversation, and often, especially in my own case, food is the topic of conversation. But even more important than physical food and physical nourishment is spiritual food, spiritual nourishment. How beautiful then that God has established the most important prayer that we have, the Mass, in the context of a meal that we're able to approach and eat the body and blood of Jesus in the Eucharist. The multiplication of the loaves is the only miracle that is recorded in all four Gospels, and that in itself shows us its great importance. But perhaps because we've heard it so many times, we tend to miss certain details of the story. And so we have to look at the context in which this miracle takes place. In this case, the context is prayer. Jesus had just heard about the death of his cousin, John the Baptist, and he withdrew. He withdrew to a deserted place in order to be in union with God, in intimate conversation with his Father. This shows us that Jesus was truly human, that he needed time to process this all. And I think, in my mind anyway, he was considering that he himself, Jesus, would soon be undergoing the same test of John the Baptist because of speaking and living the truth. He too would die at the hands of his enemies. But the people would not let him be alone. They kept coming to him from every side. And yet, Jesus did not send them away. He had pity on them, and that's the reason he cured them. He cured them because his heart was moved with pity for the crowds. In one of the other gospel accounts, it says that he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus waits for us to come to him, to be healed by him, so that he can fill us with himself. But notice the order: prayer, healing, feeding. And it's the same today. Before we approach the Eucharist, we have to be living a life of prayer, of daily prayer. We have to prepare ourselves by receiving the healing that comes in the sacrament of confession. And it's really this miracle that highlights the compassion, the tenderness of Jesus' mercy, of his ministry. It shows us that he cares not only about our physical needs, but also our spiritual needs. And so I think it's helpful to look at these readings, these food readings, according to three main points. First, the Eucharist as this miracle as a foreshadowing of the Eucharist. Secondly, we need to look at our contribution, our part in this meal. And thirdly, the abundance of God's banquet. First, the Eucharist. We know that the Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith. And this miraculous feeding in the deserted place is clearly Eucharistic. It not only points back to Moses and the miraculous manna in the desert, but it also points forward to the Last Supper and to every Mass after that. This gospel uses the very same verbs as at the Last Supper and in the Eucharistic prayer that we pray at every Mass. The verbs took, gave thanks, broke, and gave. They're all present in the gospel today. At the Mass, in the Roman canon, the priest prays, Jesus took bread in his holy and venerable hands, and with eyes raised to heaven, to you, O God, his almighty Father, giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples. This is the preparation. This is right before the words of consecration. Took, blessed, broke, gave. The use of these verbs shows us this story's, the gospel story's, connection, very close connection, with the Eucharist. This miracle is the central symbol of what the Church is. The Son of God, out of love and compassion for the poor, for us, he became one of us. He became needy like one of us. And it's the Church that facilitates this encounter, because it's through the Church that we have the sacraments, that we're able to receive the Eucharist every Sunday and even every day. The Eucharist is the culmination of divine mercy. In the Mass, in the Eucharist, Jesus is not only the host of the banquet, he's also the food. Secondly, Jesus needs our cooperation. This is our part in the meal. Imagine if Jesus said to you, "Give them some food yourselves." Remember, there were 5,000 men present, and that wasn't counting women and children. So we can imagine, we can expect that there were at least as many women and children there. So we're talking, 15,000, 20,000 people present. Impossible, right? So we can relate to the disciples' helpless feeling when they said, "All we have are 5 loaves and 2 fish, and what good are those among so many?" But notice Jesus starts with those 5 loaves, with those 2 fish provided by the disciples, and he turned them into a miraculous amount. Jesus, who is the Word of God, through whom everything, the heavens and the earth, were created, he could have started with nothing. But he wanted to start with the contribution of the disciples, as small as that was. Most likely, those 5 loaves and 2 fish were going to be their meager meal that they would have to share among themselves. But they trusted in Jesus. They gave it all to him, and he produced a miraculous amount. We who have fed at the table of the Eucharist now have the responsibility to take what we have assimilated to everyone that we encounter, to our families, to our workplaces, to feed others. Sure, Jesus was talking about giving physical food to those in need, but he also needs our help in bringing spiritual nourishment and satisfying spiritual hunger. We can invite people to church. We can pray with and for them. We can trust in Jesus. How about inviting a friend to Mass next Sunday? Or to a function at the church, such as our Wednesday Catholicism series? These are ways that we can evangelize in very small ways and bring people to have their spiritual hunger satisfied. After all, what will separate us from the love of Christ? He lives inside of us through the Eucharist, and that thought alone should embolden us to speak about Jesus to everyone that we meet. So often people think, "Well, God is mad at me because I sinned." Really? Or maybe he's disappointed in me because I haven't lived up to that high standard that he calls me to. This may be true, but he never stops loving us. He never stops loving that family member, that friend who may have fallen away from practicing the faith. What we do need to do is we need to come to him. To come to him. That's the message of the first reading today. The word "come" is used 4 times. Come to me. Come in the midst of fear, in the midst of temptation, in joys and sorrows. There's never a moment in our lives when we should not come to the Lord Jesus. He's always crying out, "Come to me. Come to me." And so we can be just as convinced as St. Paul was that nothing, nothing will separate us from the love of God as long as we are cooperating with His grace. Thirdly, the miracle in the gospel today shows the abundance of God's mercy, the abundance that He provides for us. Through the prophet Isaiah, God is calling us to a rich banquet. Come without paying and without cost. And in the Eucharist, we've been given the opportunity to take part in a very generous and plentiful banquet. As the gospel said, all ate and were satisfied. And there were leftovers. Jesus, being God Himself, would have known exactly how much food was needed, and such that there wouldn't have been leftovers. But St. Matthew tells us there were 12 baskets full. That's about one for each of the apostles. It's their tangible reminder that if they are generous with Him, giving what little they had, that He would be generous with them. And they gather up the fragments such that nothing is lost. And this is the reason why we care for any particles of the Eucharist. As long as the appearances and the accidents of the bread remain, Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. And so, after Holy Communion, we do gather up the fragments, and we reserve them in the tabernacle. Jesus not only comes to us as food, but He awaits our coming in the tabernacle. He awaits us to come and pray before Him, to spend time in adoration. And so all day on Thursday, we have Eucharistic adoration here in the church. It's also a reminder that He's present to us every day of our lives, that we can come to Him to receive Him every day if we wish. And so I encourage you to pick one other day besides Sunday, one day that you can come to Mass to receive Him in the Eucharist. It's a lot to ask at first, but if we are generous with Him, He will be generous with us. And Jesus continues the multiplication of the loaves today. The reason why we have a procession of gifts at the offertory is to show that that's our contribution. Along with what you put in the collection basket, the bread and wine are received at the hands of the people and offered up to God. These are the offerings. These are your offerings. Jesus takes what we offer Him and multiplies it abundantly, making it fruitful for us. The bread and the wine, purchased through your generosity, will become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. And so your contribution not only assists the needs of the church, but it also contributes to the salvation of souls. This is another miracle that God does in our midst. It shows us that anything that we give to God comes back to us with more abundance. But in reality, Jesus doesn't just want something from us. He wants us. He wants us. He wants us to be generous with Him in prayer, to withdraw, to be in intimate conversation with His Father. Remember, that's the context of this miracle, prayer, intimate conversation with His Father. And so the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Himself. God becomes our food, becomes our spiritual nourishment. Every time we consume Jesus in the Eucharist, the memory of His passion is recalled, our minds are filled with grace, and a pledge of future glory is given to us. Future glory because the Eucharist is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. Our contribution is to respond to the graces that God gives us each day, to give what little we have so that He can transform our small offering into abundance. Even a small amount of prayer, say 15 minutes a day, can produce a great effect, a great change, a miracle in our lives. And so I ask you, give your very self to him, because he gives himself to us in the Eucharist. He so wants to live in us that he becomes our food. He becomes our nourishment. Jesus relied on just a handful of loaves and a few fish to produce a great miracle. But this miracle was not only to satisfy their physical hunger, because he knew they'd be hungry. The very next day, they'd be looking for food. He wants to satisfy our spiritual longing, and only he can do that. By eating the body of Jesus in the Eucharist, may we be fully satisfied by him and so become heirs in the eternal life and in the heavenly banquet.